ourself, wanting to be the center of attention. And I got news for you, one of these days that you will be the center of attention. At some church or some funeral home, you'll be the one that everybody's focusing on. And there will be no more need of anything in your life. If you're a Christian, you'll be with the Lord Jesus. You'll be with heaven, God in heaven, and your life will be over. But here's the thing. I want to talk about leaving a legacy. Leaving a legacy. The Bible's very pointed about this and tells us about this, and especially in this psalm here, it talks about it. And I want us to read the first seven verses this morning. And I want you to think about that. What kind of legacy are you leaving? What kind of a legacy are you going to give those, not only your children, not only your family, but also those acquaintances that you have in your neighborhood and in your families that are around? And all of this. The boys sang yesterday. They sang, obviously, you know that they sang at the moon reunion a couple of weeks ago. And it was a blessing to hear them sing. And it's a blessing to see any young person who has a focus or thought process that's focused on God, the things of God. Most of the time that's not true. When I look at my life in the past and I look as a teenager, I had a Sunday school teacher out of this world. I had a pastor out of this world. They loved God. They tried their best to do all of those things, and yet my focus was not on God, what they were telling me. And yet now I realize the foundation that they were laying in my life and how that their legacy lives through me now. And I'm preaching the gospel. And we never know what God is going to do. But I'm thankful for young people who have a focus now and want to hear and want to know and want to learn about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have every once in a while I give the boys an outline. I gave them a little new book and a little three-hole notebook. And every once in a while I give them a study in that little book to put in that book. And I want them to learn those outlines. Some of those are messages that I preached and stuff like this. But it's so important for them to learn at an early age, and that will protect their life in the future. The world's going to try to suck them in. We got to break that thing up. We got to stop that mess. We have a youth generation in our nation today. We send missionaries all over the world. And I'm going to tell you right up front, America needs missionaries right now. We have churches on every corner, and yet people are not going to church. And when they do go to church, it's just an organization. It's not an organism. It's not a life-giving thing. And we need a life-giving thing. We need to see these young people that grow up believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says, He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that did diligently seek Him. So we need to train these children in the way to go. And that could be your legacy. You're leaving, when you leave this world, you can leave them money, you can leave them any number of things, materialism, you can leave them all that bunch of junk if you want to. But if you leave them no spirituality and no character and no faith, then you have failed in this life. I'm just telling you, you can say, well, I'll talk to you after service. Well, you can talk to me all you want to, because I'm not going to apologize. We have let a younger generation go to the world, and we haven't done anything about it. Amen. So with that being said, in my introduction, that's what Brother Harold Clayton said, and that's my introduction. Amen. Now, I'm not quite to the first big points yet. I got to read my text. But listen to this text as we go through, and I want to point out some things as we go through this text. The Bible says in verse 1, give ear, O my people. It doesn't say figure out. Okay, it doesn't say that. It says give ear. Listen to what God has to say. The Bible says in Revelation, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Well, let me ask you something. If you were in here this morning and you didn't have any ears, you'd be an odd-looking puppy, right? We all got ears. Well, what is he talking about, he that hath ears to hear? Spiritual ears. Inward ears, ears that give us the truth of God's Word. That's what he's talking about. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. It needs to be renewed in our life over and over again. So he says here, give ear. This is my first point. Oh, my people. Okay? Oh, my people. We're talking about God's people leaving a legacy for those that's left when they leave this world. To my law, give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable that is a parallel story to a spiritual truth, okay? I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard, amen, and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Now, we gave several illustrations in Sunday school this morning about God's strength and His power and who He's able to do. And we find that as young Christians, we're always inquisitive. We want to know more. We want to know more about this thing. And if you don't have that, then you need to ask God to give you that, amen, because you do need to know more. But as far as figuring out God, when God tells you something to do, He's not saying that. You do what God says to do. What God puts in your heart, you do it, amen. And when you do it, you see the mighty works of God, okay? And you're not going to see them otherwise, okay? You have to be obedient to God to see the works of God, okay? For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known unto their children. Okay, there it is again. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which shall be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children. Brother Roloff said, a woman carrying a child, talking about children, training up children, where they should go. When should you start, Brother Roloff? He said 6 months before they're born. Amen. How you live, what you do. That child is a part of you. When are we going to get over this thing about you being more than they are? They are a part of you. And what you do affects them. Amen. Now, I thought he was pretty silly when he said 6 months before they're born. How could you train a child? How could you whoop a child 6 months before they're born? Well, I'm telling you what, get yourself under control and you'll help that child. Amen. I knew I wouldn't get just very few amens there. And I do appreciate every amen I get. Amen. Verse 7 says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. We're told here to teach in this text. We're told to teach God's law by a practice of them. Okay? Now, I told you my uncle was a member of our church until he passed away. And when he was a young man, 15, 16 years old, he thought it was smart to dip snuff or not dip snuff. What was the stuff that looked like hay that you pull out of a bag? Chewing tobacco. And we'd be working in the field, and he'd pull out that thing, you know, and they was tough, you know. They was big dudes, my cousins and him and all that. But he was taking care of us little old boys. And he would pull it out, and he'd stuff it in his mouth, you know, and get it out, and there's a little bit left over, and he'd wipe it off and all of a sudden. It is good for worming horses. I know that's true. But he would do that, and he would say, now, boys, because we wanted it, as Uncle was doing it, you know, we wanted it, you know. And he said, you do what I say and not what I do. Okay, now we've raised up a generation of do what I say and not what I do. Okay, you know what the kids are going to follow? What you do. Amen. And they'd be a little less than a human or a real child if they didn't do that. Okay? And so we have to show them by our practice. I had to talk to somebody in our church years ago. It's been about 25 or 30 years ago that one of our teenage kids saw them in HEB, and they saw liquor in their basket. And the teenager came to me and said, what is this? As if to say, you know, you're preaching against that drinking mess, and they're out there buying it. Now, that's a perfect example of what I'm saying. If it ain't good for the children, excuse my ain't, they're from Montana, that'd be all right, they understand, ain't. If it ain't good for the children, it ain't good for you. Okay? I'm talking about what you see on the television. I'm talking about everything that you do. People are looking at your life, and we're building a legacy whether you like it or not. Okay? That's what we're doing. Amen. Amen. I'm enjoying this a lot better than y'all are. Not with money or materialistic things, because that's what they want. One of our grandchildren is about this high. And we was having Christmas or Thanksgiving or something. You know, we live on a farm, you know, and we love it out there and all that. And he said, look, one of these days this will all be ours. I said, boy, I'll sell it and give it away if you don't change your mind. Amen? You say, would you really do that? Yeah, I would. Yeah, sure I would. You say, why? Because I'm preaching what I believe. We need to practice what we preach or quit preaching what we're practicing. Amen. We need to do that. I mean, we need to see how important it is. So what are we saying? But faith and character. Billy Graham said this, do not give your children money. Give them character and faith. That's what your children need. This is an intentional practice. It is intentional that we practice this thing we're talking about here. It is demonstrative. We need to demonstrate what we're talking about. We need to show our kids that it is good to sit in the middle of the bed. I'll tell you, you people may get tired of hearing this, but some of the greatest times we had as a family, sitting in the middle of a king-size bed, that's when they first came out. Amen. A lot of firsts in my life. First king-size bed. We bought that puppy. I mean, it was hard as a board, but it was okay. It was cheap. It was king-size. We could all get in the bed. All our family got in the bed. And we sat in the bed and we read the Bible. And we talked about what we thought it meant. We asked the children what they thought about it. And we had a good time together. And we enjoyed it. And we enjoyed the Word of God. We enjoyed each other. Amen. Now, I know the reason I'm not getting any amens is because a lot of you are not doing that. You say you're picky, you're pointy. No, I'm not. I'm talking about leaving a legacy for our children. Do you think your children is just going to start praying for you when you're sick? I tell this church all the time, I prayed for all of you. Ever since I've been here, I've been praying for you people. Amen. When you get sick, when you get the croup, when you go through all this, I pray for you. When I get sick, I'm going to tell you something. I want prayer and fasting done in my behalf. And if not, and I die, I'm going to come back and haunt y'all. Now, what am I saying? Your kids are not going to do this on their own. They're going to have to see examples. They're going to have to know. Brother Lester Roloff said that, his daughter said that she would come in sometimes after her daddy had left at about 5 o'clock in the morning to go ride his bicycle and exercise. And she said, I would come in and I would still see the elbow marks in the couch where he'd prayed for several hours. Prayer is what changes things. If your children do not have prayer to a holy God, look at what they're missing. Look at what they're losing. We have to, by characterize, we have to give them character and we have to give them faith and we have to teach those things to our children so that they can see that. Someday, we'll be the center of attraction. What I've already said, our legacy of building will be over. It'll be done. And I'll tell you, I have another message that I preach. Oh my, if I'd only known this. You know what the Apostle Paul came when he died and went to heaven and came back, God sent him back? You know what he said? It's unspeakable words. I don't know how to express what I saw. Do you think he wanted to come back? No. He said, it was better for you that I come back. I sure didn't want to come back. Because of what he saw. When we're gone, it'll be good. We'll be fixed. Our hope will become reality. Okay? Our lives will be embedded in those who remain. You know what I want? You know what I want? Now don't take me wrong, okay? We got visitors this morning. Don't take me wrong. I'm not so proud of myself that I want my children to be what I am. But I want them to be what I had and what I have. And I live my life doing that. And I have lived my life doing that. Now, I talk about dying every once in a while. Until you realize or grasp the thing about death, you can't even live. And so I tell my grandchildren, they're always on my case because I say something about this or I say something about that. And I say, you know, me and Granny's going to be gone one day. Paul, now you stop it. Now, you want to start a fight in the family? Just say something about their mama. Just say something. They'll jump on their grandpa. And I feel obligated to help them off. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is, they say, don't say that. Listen, it's going to happen. And what's going to happen after that? It's what we have put in them. I want them to sing for the glory of God. Hallelujah. I want them to testify about the grace of God. I want them to introduce their songs and saying, this song means it. Because of what the Scripture says about the cross, about the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, listen, you know what? Joe and Shorty had them sing at the Moon Reunion. And I'm going to tell you something. They sang some songs that a lot of kids have never heard nothing about. The blood of Christ. I don't know how many of those children know about that stuff. Doesn't make any difference. It's in their heart. They can sing. Thank God for the older ones that want to demonstrate that's what we need. That's a legacy. Now, guess what happened? The other grandparents is jealous. I'm talking about me and Gloria. That's our grandchildren. I don't know why they don't go out and get some of their own. But the other grandparents, they're jealous. So they had a they had a thing yesterday, and they said, well, you sang for your other grandparents. You're going to sing for us, surely. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something else. You have a family reunion, call them boys, they'll sing it's yours. Amen. And there'll be some of them there that you love that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if those songs will help them to find their path and their way, amen for that. Amen. That's in my heart. That's in my... You know why this church loves those boys so much? Do you know why? See, some of you don't even... We have a slow class this evening. We can help you with that stuff. You know why? It's because they really believe what they're singing. And we believe that. Amen. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to take credit where credit's due. Now, I got them boys going. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. Their mother didn't do it. Amen. I did it. Praise God. But, you know, I didn't do all this stuff where they switched sides. I didn't do all that now. Now, they've gone to school and they've learned that's the way you're supposed to do it. Well, okay, that's all right. Yeah, amen. Long as it ain't rock and roll and that bunch of junk. And that's what a lot of these kids do. They start out in the church singing. You know, preacher said, or mom and daddy said, and they get up here and they sing, you know, and push them around. Listen, they have a desire. And I said this before. I don't know how. I don't know if this is all the way correct or not. But they probably know 40, 50 songs. They just get up here and sing songs. Let me ask you something. How many of y'all could sing one, maybe at Calvary, right, one of those songs, that you might not have to have the book? But I'll guarantee you, if you get up here and stand behind this pulpit, you've got to have that book. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. That's the truth. God has given them that, and they're to use that for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever He gives you, expects you to add on to it and fix it up and help it and all that stuff and sing it or preach it or whatever. That's what you're supposed to do. So building, you're either building for the world, you're either building for something else other than, or your family building. You're building the family. Now, that means the church, collectively, the family of God. What if you don't have a heritage to teach you that? That's what the Bible's teaching us here. What if you don't have that heritage? Well, I'm telling you today, start a new one. Train up your children in the way they should go. And the Bible says when they're old, they'll not depart from it. It doesn't mean they might not get off into the world. It means they'll have the key, the answers. They'll have them at their disposal. We need to leave a legacy. Let me tell you something. There's people in our church that's already gone from this place. They're no longer with us. They're in heaven. They left a legacy. You have the paneling on the walls. You have the carpet on the floor. Listen, this was just a one-room building. Years ago, 36 years ago. One-room building. That over there wasn't here. That out yonder with the restroom, they didn't have any water. Why have a restroom, right? Duh-duh. That out there wasn't on there. This wall here was up further. And God blessed us through those old saints of God who loved Him and believed in Him and had unity and worked together with Him as a group of people. They loved God, and God blessed us. Well, I've seen churches a whole lot prettier than this. Not to us. Not to us. You say, why? Because God did it. I mean, they hauled these pews down the road on the back of a pickup. Listen, the pickup is in the center, and all that was sticking out on both sides. Everybody had to get off the road so they could come down the road with the pews for this church. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? It just got to show you that God gave us these pews. God gave us. We ain't never had no money. God gave us these pews. God gave us this carpet. I mean, a man sat back there and began to weep. When we got the pews, we're going to put the pews in. The guy was weeping and crying. And after a while, he said, Brother Bill, I need to talk to you. He took me outside. And he said, I was going to put the carpet in my house this week. And he said, God told me, he said, look here, he said, you're going to have new carpet in your house. And I got this old carpet. He said, I'm buying the carpet. I got up in the pulpit the next Sunday and I said to you people, if you ever want to give towards the carpet, we've decided that maybe we ought to get new carpet, and we're going to get new carpet this week. And if you want to give to the carpet, you put that aside and you give the carpet, and praise God. I was trying to help defray some of the cost of this man who said he was going to buy the carpet. After church, he came to me again and he talked to me a lot like that. I said that God told me to buy the carpet. Any money you get, put it on something else. Amen. God said for me to buy the carpet, and that's what I'm going to do. Amen. You know what God wants you to do? What He tells you. How are you going to know what He tells you? By the Word of God, and by prayer, and by seeking His face, and by wanting what He wants instead of what you want. Amen. We have a real problem in here with our women. I'll take care of you, brother. If you decide to come to our church, I'll look out for you. Amen. You know, one of them's doing we only got one system, and it only works one way, and so I've decided that I'll just get it like I like it. You say, you're a meanie, old chauvinistic, old whatever. Whatever. We have to realize that there's more in here but just us. We have to realize if there's not unity in our congregation, then people that visit us like this, they're going to know it right off. They're going to say, well, I don't want to go to church there. See, they're thinking about moving from Montana to Texas. Hallelujah. So y'all be on y'all's best behavior. Amen. You just be good like I am. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, to build an enduring legacy, we must concentrate on five things. And I'm hurrying. Five things. One of them is, the first one is verse 1, is who? Notice what the Bible says, oh, my people. What does He tell us? I want you to hear what God has to say. I want our thoughts to be beyond wondering. What do you think the Bible says here? Okay. Sometimes when we hear preaching, unless it edifies or builds you up personally, we want to figure out what it's really saying. Or under conviction many times, if the conviction gets too heavy, we want to say, well, it's Brother Billy's fault. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I can't bring conviction. Okay, and I can criticize. I can do whatever I want to do. I can say all those things. But conviction comes from within. When you are burning, when you have something burning in your bosom about something, just do it. Don't blame it on me. I cannot cause conviction. But the Holy Ghost can, and His Word can. Listen, as I was reading something this week, I read about this, and I thought about, listen, I don't know if I'm fixing to die or not. But the conviction came to me that I need to convey this message that we're leaving a trail behind us that somebody's got to follow. Now, if it's one of these things like this, how are you going to follow that? It has to be straight down the middle. It has to be right. It has to be good. It has to be proper. I mean, you can't go to church on Sunday and cuss on Monday. And yet most of people's lives in the church. Look, oh, my people. Why do you think He put it in there, oh? You know why a lot of our prayers are not answered? Because we've left the oh. Oh, God. Oh, God, would you do something? Not in everybody else's. Quit trying to straighten everybody else out. Oh, my God. Put it in me. Change me. After Thy likeness and after Thy will. And when we do that, what happens is we're able to change the whole world. We're able to change the whole world. Why? Because God is operating in those people that are obedient to His Word. Obedient to His command. Amen. First one is in verse 1. Who? Who is He talking? He's talking about you. Oh, amen. I don't like you saying you. Well, you're the only ones here. The second one is what? What should legacy be built on? Look at verse 4. The Bible says we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Notice now, how do they get this? By seeing His strength. Now, let me give you another. I use this a lot, and I'm sorry if you don't like it or whatever. When I came to this church, the first Sunday I came to this church, there was a sign hanging on the wall right yonder. And it was a little thermometer. I keep wanting to say thermostat. It was a thermometer. And it had $3,500 in it for a country church. That's a lot of money. And I said to the church as I was preaching, I said, what is that? It says the building fund. What are y'all praying about and what are y'all saving money for the building fund? Almost simultaneously, they all went, we don't know. I said, well, we ought to do something with it. You ain't going to take that money to heaven with you. We ain't going to divvy it up. What are we going to do? So we began by building on the building. We said we would have a fellowship time. I went to a church one time. They had a special day at the church. And so all the people brought their food and they put it on the table in the back of the auditorium. And they ate all over the auditorium. Kids dropping cookies and crepes and all that stuff all over the... Listen, this is a worship center. This ain't the eating place. You know, people come, and we tell them during Days of Refreshing. They'll come in with their water and their jugs and all that stuff. And so we have people like, where's Brother Dwayne at? Brother Dwayne, we have big old guy. He says, you can't bring that in here. Some of them get offended. Some ain't bothered by it. If we think there's a possibility of you're going to starve to death or dry up and blow away during the service, we'll give you some water. Amen. Might as well say it. Listen, I went to a graduation up here at Salado School for the boys going from one school to the next school. And the big old principal got up there and he said, if you have a cell phone, you better make sure that puppy don't go off during this service. Listen, we need to have a little standard. This is a blessed place in this place. God promised to meet with us in here, not you and your stinking cell phone and whoever else you want to keep in contact with while you're at church. We never had one. I remember when there was no cell phone. Now, don't ask me how old I am. Ain't none of your business. Okay? I'm just saying, we have progressed to the place to where we can't live without that bonehead, and we can't live without a plastic deal of water. Dear God. My daughter's always doing this to me, and she is not too old to get a whooping still. But we'll be driving down, we'll go to Canton or something together, and she goes with us, and we're driving down the road or something. She drinks her water out, and when she thinks I least expect it, she crushes it. You ever hear that thing when you do that? Scares me to death. I said, if you do that one more time, and she'll do it before the day's out, she'll do it again. She's a rebel. That's what she is. But let me say something to you. I've sat in churches where somebody had a Coca-Cola, brought it into the auditorium. Church service is going, it's not just about you. You understand? It's about everybody. And right in the middle of the service, you pop that cap and it goes, shh. And I thought, dear Lord, if anybody was thinking about anything eternal and somebody didn't have any more sense to come into the church house with a Coke bottle in their hand, much less to open it up and drink it during the service. We're only in here 45 minutes or an hour or so. Good night. Can't you give God at least that? But see, if I say that in this day and time, well, I'm a legalist. I've lost it. No. I still believe that God meets with two or three when they gather together in His name. Not in Coca-Cola's name, in His name. I just believe that. That's what the Bible teaches. Okay, so we're leaving a legacy to our children. This legacy should be built on our Creator, our Sustainer, and gloriously our Savior. Amen. Thirdly, where? We've talked about the why. We talked about the who. And we've talked about the what. Now we're going to talk about the where. Verse 6 says this, that the generation to come, do you care about the generation to come? We just had an election. Okay? A lot of us old deadheads are going to die and not see a lot of the things going to happen after we're gone. Right? We're not going to know it. But who's it going to be left to? Who's it going to be left to? It's going to be left to our children and our grandchildren. They're going to have to deal with it. They're going to have to learn about it. They're going to have to learn how a nation can prosper. And our nation has always prospered as long as God was ahead of it. And when we took Him down, it's gone downhill ever since. Public schools is a dangerous, dangerous place to live or to be. I mean, kids going to school. Now, listen, I don't agree with everything that let's set that aside. Now they're saying they can take guns to college. Haven't we learned anything? What is a college kid? He's a kid just got out of high school. Where's all these shootings taking place? In high schools and elementary schools and all that stuff? You say, well, we shouldn't have gun rights. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But let me tell you what the gun rights was about, okay? Can I say that? This is a political statement, but I paid for it, okay? The gun rights was about government taking over the people. Where we at? Came close to. Where we at? Government taking over the people. Let me say something. You know, I found out something the other day. Did you know that you can have your cell phone off and they can still find out stuff on it? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they could hear what goes in your house from the TV. You say, come on, man. Listen, we have technology that's scary. We have technology that's scary. And a lot of times we don't wake up till it's over. And we don't realize what we've done. So where? To this generation that we have opportunity to. That's where. That's who. Then the next one in verse 3 is when. When? When we have heard. Did you know when you go away from here today that you are now responsible for what I've said? Now, if you wasn't here and you didn't hear it, you're not responsible for what I've said here. There is a responsibility. But the words I'm saying today, these little 5 points, these things right here, you are responsible for when you leave this place. Did you know that if you plant the seed, that the Bible says that you have washed your hands of their blood? But if you don't plant the seed, if you don't water, if you don't do what God leads you to do, then He said, I will require their blood at your hands. Did you know that everything that you say is recorded? I remind my wife of that several times a week. God hears everything you say, woman. I'm your protector. I'm your shelter. I'm your provider. The woman has a bird nest on the ground, Miss Marva. She still wants to correct me about everything. Amen. Well, I have to say this. There's been many a time her correction has helped me. Praise God. And she did it by accident, but anyhow, it worked. So when? When we've heard. When we understand. When we've comprehended. Verse 3 says this, which we have heard and known, and our forefathers have told us. Amen. So all of those three areas of our life, we need to realize that's when we need to get on the train and get busy. The last one is why. Verse 7 says this, why? Why? Did you know that hundreds, if not thousands, maybe millions of young people kill themselves every year? What is that? What's going on? What's going on, man? They have no hope. They have no hope. Somebody said, well, I believe heaven is down here right now. Well, buddy, you are in for a shock. Heaven is not what we're seeing now. This is a time in preparation and getting us ready to spend eternity in one of two places. We got to tell children that. We got to teach them children that. Listen to what it says. That they might set their hope in God. Amen. And not forget the works of God. Amen. But keep His commandments. Let me ask you something. What if you'd have been at the Red Sea? What if you'd have been at the Red Sea? Here's Pharaoh's army coming up. They can see the dust trail coming. They're coming after them. There's no place for them to go. There's no out. There's no nothing there. And no, they lost hope. Moses stood and raised the thing to the sky and said, believe in God. Trust God. God said it, it's going to be so. And the Bible says that the wind came and blew the sea open, stood up on both sides. There wasn't no dog trail through there. To go through as many as went through there in one night, it went through in one night, it had to be at least 5,000, 6,000 wide for them to walk across there at night. That's the kind of God we serve. You know what our kids need to see? They need to see that you believe that with all of your fiber. Somebody said you believe that God really made a fish to swallow the whale. If the Bible said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. You say, that's stupid. No, it ain't stupid. It's believing God. You say, you mean to tell me that you believe those stories that's written in the book, the same author wrote them all? Are you going to tell me you're going to pick out what you like and what you don't like? You're going to tell me, listen, when I came to this church, somebody whispered in my ear, I don't know who it was. Doesn't make any difference. Got it across to me. Two things, Brother Billy, about to steer clear of. That's politics and divorce. I said, well, I just don't see how I can get around either one of them because they're both in the Bible. Well, what are you going to say about somebody that's divorced? I'm going to tell young people the Bible doesn't condone that. I'm going to try to head it off at the pass. I'm not trying to unscramble your scrambled eggs. I'm trying to say we've got a better message for our children, and the reason that we have a lot of divorces is because of uneducation about what the Scripture teaches. Amen. You can't avoid the things that God said. Listen, Jesus never did please too many with his preaching. Amen. But I'm telling you one thing, as long as they received it, brother, they was in tall cotton. But when they didn't, guess what? Jesus walked away. He gave them opportunity. These children need a hope. And they're only going to get it out of this book. That's all they're going to get it out of. But they're going to get it out of this book as you live it. Not as you talk about it, but as you live it. Their hope, they will not forget your legacy. Amen. Is our desires focused on us and others? Or is our thoughts and our decisions reflect our following of Jesus Christ? I said this many times. I'll say it over and over again. It indelibly marked my heart. All of the homes that the Roloff homes had down in Corpus Christi and all over the country there, every one of them had a sign up over the gate that when you come through the gate, Christ is the answer. If Christ is not your answer for any scenario that you come upon, it's not his fault, it's your fault. Because Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Do we reflect the Lord in our home, in our church, in our workplace, and in our community? Everywhere you go. I said to a young lady yesterday, we come across in a restaurant. I said to her, I bet you there's a smile in there somewhere. And she began to smile and she said, I've had such a terrible headache. I said, bless your heart. We'll ask the Lord to help you with that. You say, well, you just, no. You have the same responsibility. I saw somebody aching and hurting. And I said to her, there's a smile in there somewhere. And she smiled. I kept trying to get little Pablo's attention a while ago while he was singing. There's no words down there on your shoes, little Pablo. Look up at your preacher. Look up at your mama. Your daddy. Well, your mama. And smile. Because you're doing something that's marvelous. You're doing something that's wonderful. You're singing about somebody that has created all things after his likeness, what he wants. That's what you're singing about. Sing for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Smile at people, you'll scare them to death. Amen. Do we reflect that? Others, our loved ones, should see a consistency of character and faith in our lives like they've not seen in anybody else's life. Our life's goal should be to please God and equip those that will follow us to please God. He is our example, and we should be that example for them. A godly character and a faith to follow. That's what God wants from your legacy. Now I'm going to close with this. You're forming a legacy. And you may not, it may not be all it should be. But you know what? Ms. Gloria said this to a woman years ago that was having a real struggling life. And she was just bellyaching and complaining about everything. And she was down in the mouth. And Gloria said to her, "This is the first day of the rest of your life. Why don't you get off of that old slow train that's going nowhere? And why don't you get on that supreme jet train that's going straight to God? Why don't you start anew? Why don't you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus?" You say, "But I'm saved." I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about your salvation. He says, "Oh, my people." I'm talking about the life that you live. That's what I'm talking about. And God can do great and mighty things in your midst. And He will do great and mighty things in your midst. But you're going to have to leave the legacy. He can't do it for you. If you would, stand with me. With heads bowed and eyes closed. We're just going to have a short invitation. If God spoke something to your heart, I'd just do what He says. Just do what He says. Whatever He says, do it. I'd do it. You know what Jesus' mother said at the marriage? The first thing that Jesus did, the first miracle that He performed, was to change the water into wine. It was not wine to get drunk on. It was great. You know what Mary said to the servants? "Whatever He says, just do it." Whatever Jesus says, just do it. Amen. And you'll see some things happen that you never dreamed could have ever happened.